rediscover the facets of yourself that have been kept hidden away for far too long. For just $1, you can take a journey and make it your ultimate transformation. Center of the Sun Plus offers more tools, support, and community to help you explore your inner realms. Click the link in the description to join today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A new Cardi B court case resurfaces on Twitter, but it's fake. I am your host, Devon, and you are listening to another episode of Center of the Sun Podcast. Thank you for listening. I hope you like that melody. Well, they were calling Cardi B. They were, like, making fun of her because they thought she had a 360 deal or something. I don't know. It was in contrast or it had something to do with, like, Megan Thee Stallion, because she had a similar thing where she just won in court, being able to produce or to release her own music and be her own boss. But unfortunately, a similar thing was happening with Cardi B at the beginning of her career, but it was all resolved back then. And that's what I remembered, but it resurfaced today. And it was funny because Cardi B always responds to her fans. They always respond to her fans. And sometimes it doesn't always work out. And so I think she was probably advised to, like, maybe delete some tweets or something. But you can't just delete tweets. Someone's always looking at you. Someone's always watching you. And someone's always screenshotting you to profit off of you. So they, of course, like, clap back and was like, well, if you were so right and blah, 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 then why'd you delete your tweet? And da, da, da. So she came back and said, well, because it's fake. It has nothing to do with anything. There is no reason to address it because it's actually contrived. And it had nothing to do with her. And it had, she was named in it because she's associated with whatever company is in court right now, but it had nothing to do with her record deal. And the whole thing was contrived. So that was something that was funny today. How are you doing today? Are you surviving the coronavirus? I hope you did your taxes because the stimulus bill that was just passed in the Congress, United States Congress, was signed or is close to being signed by Donald Trump right now. So you have to do your taxes. It's like an extra, like, tax refund or something. I already get a refund. So I guess I would get the $1,200, but, like, if you owe them $1,200, then you just are $1,200 less bill at the IRS, you know, like something like that. And most people get refunds. So it's kind of like a tax rebate. It's a tax credit. It's weird. Oh, it's so weird. Nancy Pelosi. I just, because it's like we have all of this stuff about, like, Bernie Sanders and, like, how we're so against socialism and all this kind of stuff. And then we do things that are seemingly socialist, but with our own weird take on it. Like, instead of just giving people money, they have to do it through some weird taxation loophole, or they have to create another layer of taxation or delay it till next year, because it's our money that we already spent, earned and spent. It's a weird society is so weird. And that's what we're going to talk about, because society is weird, but society is shifting. It's shifting. And we know that we're always going to have some sort of exchange of currency, current energy. It's all kind of a synonym, but there's always going to be an exchange. And even in the cosmic sense, there's always an exchange of energy. And it's very interesting if you look a little bit closer at it, because you'll learn lessons about kind of how to operate in your own life. So anyway, another thing that kind of struck me about this whole coronavirus and COVID-19 bullcrap is that because everyone's staying at home, it's been very refreshing to see that Black people have finally adopted TikTok. I've been on TikTok since like September or something. I actually am not on it no more because it's like too complicated for me to use. Like I can only like talk to you. I learned how to use Logic Pro. I learned how to use this iMac, but I do not have patience for social media. I just don't like it. But they've finally adopted TikTok, and I'm actually very happy because they've made it better. It's actually funny, but what I don't want to go on TikTok because I don't want to see their numbers, because their numbers are probably trash, because that's not how TikTok is, not like Twitter. You're making videos for children. So if you're on TikTok not making videos for children, you're not getting very many views because the algorithm does not reward people who are not making safe content that is family oriented. So a lot of it is funny, but a lot of it has a lot of cussing and like sexual themes, which are not okay because it's a Chinese product. So you have to follow Chinese customs and cultures and stuff like that. And it's widely successful in China. And it's only that successful in China because of the algorithm works in some kind of weird way. And I don't have energy. I really don't. If I ever become a billionaire or something and can create a algorithm of some sort for a computer, hopefully I don't, because that it just seems very boring. Like, why would that be your life's work, or why would that be your business? But anyway, Beyonce, in addition to something else that's like kind of blowing my mind right now, on Twitter, people are accusing her of not writing her own music. I don't know based on what, but I just know it's a hot topic this week, and I'm kind of perplexed because I'm like, have you ever followed Beyonce at all? Of course she doesn't write every single word of her music. You can see her credits, her producers and her writers and everybody, but at the core of her artistic expression is her, and she does write a lot of her music. Maybe not all of it, and maybe not from start to finish, but because it's fucking hard to make a song. Even the background track to this motherfucker, you know, like it's not easy to make songs. So it's just really weird when people discount musicians because they can't conceive of the sheer amount of work it takes to produce one song and the amount of emotional labor it takes just to just birth something beautiful. Like music. So I am a musician. I'm trying to produce my own shit, write and produce my own shit, and sing, and I'll do all that shit. It's hard as hell. And if I had money to pay somebody to speed this shit on up so I can just get the ideas out of my head, because at the end of the day, it's her ideas. So, and if she, if some of her stuff resonates, you know, if something within her resonates with somebody else's stuff and she samples it and uses it, that's completely fine, because anybody that's ever sang in a choir or sang in a band or, you know, any sort, or sang at all, period, or sang with your siblings or anything, music is a collaboration. And the people that are criticizing musicians for collaborating, that's weird. That's counterintuitive. Like, that's what we're going to talk about today. This old way of thinking about, like, every man for himself, and like, if you're not nobody unless you're independent and da da da, like that paradigm has already shifted, and we're seeing it play out in this coronavirus stimulus. And why does the government care? And not care, but like, why is there a narrative? Like, why is there a shift in feelings? And that's because we're shifting. That's because our energy is shifting. And just like Kim Kardashian, you know, she just beat up Kourtney or whoever on the TV. Now, they had a little slap fight. It ain't really beating up nobody, but still, like, damn it, everybody's losing their chill. Nobody can take it no more. And, you know, we're over it. But connecting with people, like fighting is not all the time good, but still you're connecting with people. It's better to fight with somebody than to ignore them, I would say. That was something that was really funny though, because her in that wig, she just had a wig on, like a bob, and she was just shaking that bob like no stiff bitch. Anyway, so the paradigm is shifting. The energy is shifting. I was on Twitter the other day and I was talking about the theory of the hologram of existence. I forget what the real term is. I think I'm saying it wrong, but basically there are theories, mathematical theories, that we live in a hologram. And there's evidence every day that disproves a lot of what we've been taught, like as kids. Like I'm 31. So a lot of the stuff that I learned about like quantum mechanics and like blah, 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 like Albert Einstein, like that was called into question when I was having a mental breakdown after college. Like, so I missed a lot of updated information because I'm like, wait, I'm an intellectual. Like I keep up with this kind of stuff. I want to know how the world works. It's in my best interest to know. Therefore, I'm going to seek it. And for some odd reason, in the last 10 years, I've been misguided. For some reason, I've been stuck with reading Brian Greene. I know we discussed Brian Greene on the show. I know we discussed other scientists that are kind of outdated. Like, considering, like, fast forward to now, like, I've been going through this process. And I'm learning as on this, basically the same day that you're learning about all of this stuff too. And I'm just kind of regurgitating it from my own synthesis. And that's because the paradigm is shifting. A lot of people are starting to come into this realization. And not only is this my personality, I've actually had physical experiences that kind of support this paradigm shift. And the paradigm shift that I'm talking about is the same paradigm shift that everybody was kind of talking about in 2012. You know, the world was going to end in 2012. Like, this is why nobody believes anything, because we're always being, everything that is important is trivialized and made into a movie, and then it's dramatized to hell, and then we never really get the substance of what the message was in the first place. So in 2012, we heard a lot about the ancient Mayan people. Center of the sun. Naturally, we try to connect ancient wisdom with modern science to unlock our human potential. So, like, obviously, the Mayan calendar is an important aspect because it's like right, it's on the border of the motherfucking United States. Like, it's like next, it's the closest pyramids that we have. Well, that are not, I don't know if there's any pyramids in the US. There probably are. Because there's pyramids everywhere, but the ones that we focus on the most in this side of the world are the pyramids in Mexico. So what's interesting about those pyramids is that they're kind of like parallel with the ones in Egypt. Like, it's like really weird. It's weird. And the same stones and everything, when we know like geology does not work like that. Like, obviously they were either one continent or like it was moved from place to place because it matches, even though like nobody could have ever contacted each other because it was so far away. And it's like, obviously they were able to contact each other, and not only contact each other, they were obviously able to move. So we don't know how that happened, because it wasn't planes, trains, and air and automobiles. We know that much. It was something else. And and maybe they didn't move either. You know, maybe it was just like fluke, you know, like, ooh, this is just whatever. But, you know, we know that remote intuition and all that kind of stuff is all real. So I don't know. They might have been talking to each other through the dreams and stuff. I don't know. But there are a lot of researchers that have focused a lot of their life's work on those structures down, those Mayan structures down in Mexico. And Namely, the Mayan calendar is probably the most prominent thing that was produced out of the whole exploration of the Mayans, the ancient Mayans. And, you know, there was a date, you know, at which point the Mayan calendar ended. And at the time, I kind of thought about it in the more of a mechanical sense. It was kind of like, okay, it's a cycle. And we know for a fact, like all of these ancient calendars, Hindus and all these people, Mayans, all these people, they have these calendars that like, when you look at them, they're like, this is just a bunch of pictures on a thing. But if you look at it and you know what the damn system is, it matches up one-to-one with our time, with our modern time. So we know it's like the same time. It's just in different proportions. But it's equals to the same thing, equals up to the same thing. So there was a date, you know, we matched our calendar with the Mayan calendar. We figured out, oh my God, like December 21st, 2012 is going to be the end of the world or whatever it is. But that's only from looking at it from a mechanical sense. Today, there is a doctor. His name is Carl Kalaman. He's a PhD and he studied the Mayan calendar. And he also created a term that I just learned the other day called the nine waves of creation. And it kind of talks about the differences between these two perceptions of like the Mayan calendar. He asserts that the Mayans did not only have the mechanical perception of time, they had a intuitive and a spiritual, they also had an intuitive and spiritual sense of it as well. And they didn't have exact dates and stuff. They had symbols and things and where it would indicate that energy was shifting. But Carl Kalaman discovered in his studies, and you can look them up, that these Mayan pyramids have like levels to them. You know, there's like stair steps to them. And we've been talking about numerology and we've been talking about all the numbers and we went through the first, you know, nine numbers. We skipped a few, but, you know, we kind of got a good sense of kind of what the first nine numbers are. We didn't go through each characteristic of each number, but we went through kind of why it's important, because the actual what a number nine is can vary based on your intuition. But what we cannot ignore is that the numbers themselves have an inherent value that we see are manifested in various ways. So for instance, nine waves of creation is a metaphor for the nine levels on them pyramids. So when these Mayan people were creating stories and structures, just like we have our own stories and our own structures to talk about our culture, they did the same thing. And they told stories with snakes and steps and all kind of different symbols that indicated or had direct or represented our consciousness and represented the consciousness of the planet. And we know that the planet's consciousness is we are a microcosm of the planet's consciousness. Our individual consciousness is just a piece of the greater whole. So Dr. Kalaman, he said the 2012 date, 12-21, 2012, was a fluke. How it kind of matched up with our time was all a fluke. And that it was a fluke because European astrology worships the mechanical nature of our universe. And it worships the solstices and it kind of like puts value on these mechanical parts of the earth. But it completely ignores all of the spiritual stuff. And the Mayans obviously were more focused on the spirituality part of it because it didn't matter. The concept of time didn't matter in this plane. It mattered in the greater sense of things. So the Mayans believed only in focusing on the energy that is being moved throughout the planet. And not only the physical changes. So we know that like a hurricane and of, you know, these natural disasters, that's energy being moved throughout the planet. So frequency at this time in 2012, around 2011 to now, okay, so we're in, everything is, there's not a date, there's not a thing, it's just a starting and a stopping of cycles and kind of like on a spectrum. And it causes physical changes in the earth, but we don't have to dwell on that because we know how to adapt. That's why, you know, we have our senses and all that kind of stuff in our technology because we adapt just fine. But we know, like, if there isn't, so like there were specific events around this time that we could attribute to, like, energy was frequency, like there was earthquakes in places where there shouldn't have been earthquakes, like earthquakes in China and earthquake, you know, tsunamis and, you know, creating breakdowns of nuclear reactors and stuff. There was a whole bunch of stuff. And it's almost seemingly like it's just the earth going through a cycle, but the Mayans didn't really care about that part. There are two rules of thought about kind of what the Mayans believed and kind of who they were and their concept of time. The main thing is that a lot of people believe that the Mayans built this calendar to kind of metaphorically tell the story of divine inspiration. On the other end, with the 2012, you know, date, that was people assuming that the Mayans knew something scientifically because they were able to project, you know, expertly into the future. We were like, oh my God, they're just so smart. Like, blah, blah, blah. This is like math, like physics, like, yes. And it kind of validated a lot of people's thoughts about ancient people and about how they could, you know, in some way create these processes that match one-to-one with our, quote, you know, electricity and, you know, that match with our modern processes. And we think that, but we think that we're better because we created this new thing, but it's all intuition. It's everybody has intuition in their own age. There's nobody is just left to fend for themselves. You know, like there's always a progression and the Mayans had just as much sense as we do now.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We just have different tools because we've built upon something, but they had just as much sense to create the stuff that we have now. So it's just theirs is a different version, but theirs is just as nice. Like, it is made of stone and it's lasted like thousands of years. Like, girl, like, how can you tell me that's less? But anyway, Kalaman, Dr. Kalaman, he states that our relationship with the universe has changed fundamentally. External world events with completely new meaning. So That's kind of the biggest thing that you'll see. And you'll see that human behavior also changes, but your perception will most likely stay the same unless you're conscious of it. We are going to be moving towards unity, and I would even say like a unity consciousness, like a collective unity consciousness. And it's kind of indicated in these this coronavirus stimulus. Like, never in a million years would I ever think that we would have two stimulus in like 10 years, you know, like it's like, and it's, but it's just the principle of the matter. It's in everyone's best interest if everyone is doing well. So even the least of you have to at least be like breathing, you know, like, and even if you look at it from a cynical perspective, we are just workers in a big ass corporation. We're just these people's workers. So at least, you know, they even needed the slaves to be alive too. At least be not sick. But human behavior, you've already seen it change. You've seen people kind of like start to become like a little bit more attuned to their world. They want to buy green. You know, like it's a slow and steady progression to a unity consciousness. Our direction, is shifting. And we're not going to repeat the past. And you must let it go because it'll only haunt you. We won't be repeating it. Unfortunately, the cycle is over. You know, all of this, and we're only building upon what we've already built. But we're not going to be looking back to the past because we can't go back, because the way that cycle has ended, there is no way to go back. We can only build upon it. And that's probably why the Mayan technology seems freaking weird to us, because we only build upon things. We don't look back. So that was just their concept of it. And then since then it was built upon or destroyed and then forgotten. I don't know what happened, but it's relevant today. Internal worlds also are experiencing this same shift. I experienced it not around 2012, but more so like in the last, like maybe like 2016-ish. 2015, 2016 was my shift, internal shift, where I kind of like felt the sun in a new way. It was very weird. Solar eclipse. I had never felt like that. I had never felt so alive. Because I was like, wait, I'm on Earth and I'm looking up at the sun during an eclipse, where the only time where the sun and the moon are lined up, I'm looking at this thing, and I was in awe. I couldn't tell you. I was in awe. And that's kind of my shift. And that was an internal shift. And I can't really look back. I can't really go back to my old ways, because I really feel like, oh my God, like I feel compelled. And that's the whole thing about what the Mayans were trying to say, is that not that there was a specific day or anything, but that you will be compelled and you can't look back. So that's why, like, when I think of like the 2012 movie, we all had this concept of what was going to happen, but we haven't talked about that. We didn't say, oh, I never, you know, like we didn't care. We were like, okay, we're not dead. Let's keep moving. Let's go. You know, we don't really talk about 2012 no more. And that's why I brought it up, because I'm like, I feel like we're still shifting. I feel like that was the time at which everybody would be coming online, but that it would be slow to progress. So we're moving to the next hologram, the next wave of existence. And all of these holograms and waves, these are all validated by science. I just don't know enough to explain it to you right now, but I could figure it out if you asked me to. But you're compelled to change quickly. So specifically within, you know, even just like your chakras or something, you know, you can even think of your chakras or light or numbers. Like, we're all talking about these concepts of nine, of the number nine. And the Mayans, they believe that there were nine waves of creation that all were different frequencies, and they all had something different to provide to reality. But ultimately, we know through the study of electricity that waves, when you put two waves or nine waves or three waves together, they ultimately become one wave. And that's what I was saying. You build upon energy. You do not create or destroy energy. You only build upon it and transmute it and change it. But, But they're all different frequencies. So there's so if you think of a wave, you know, there's a peak and a valley. There's always like a curve of it. And when we're at the top of the curve, which we're hopefully moving towards because we're at the bottom right now. We are at the bottom of the curve, girl. But when we get to the top of the curve, you'll feel more unified. And hopefully that's coming. And that's what people are kind of anticipating for 2020 is that shift. We're kind of moving towards the top of our curve. So we'll kind of see that the sixth wave is ending and that we're moving towards another wave of creation. So it's a very weird concept. Have you heard of this before? I follow this shaman. I follow these white people on YouTube. I don't know. They sound right. No, but the thing about it is that I validated all of this. I wouldn't have brought it to you if independent sources haven't talked about this same exact thing in different words. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole purpose of Center of the Sun, is finding those connections between what people are saying that is different. Like, where is there not a pattern? Or like, where is there a pattern? You know, trying to figure out those answers. And a lot of people, you know, people that live in the United States or live in Europe or live in the jungle or whatever else, there are people that are not very popular, but they have a small following and they have a little bit of success behind their name because they follow these principles of reality, not trying to keep up with somebody's Joneses because it's not worth it. So the Mayans represented these waves of creation in their stories and in their structures. So they had pyramids, they had structures and all kinds of stuff going on. But that's why their clocks stopped. They were telling a story. That wasn't a clock. That wasn't a calendar. It was a story, just like the Bible. It's not a calendar. It's not a rule book or a word from God. It's a story. They were telling a story of how the waves will end and move and like, and then new ones, and then new waves begin and they kind of more propagate more. And then you have more propagation of other waves and they're added into new waves of creation. But it's like we haven't gotten to that point yet. So we don't know what the next thing is going to be. And these stronger signals will affect you. The coronavirus and all this stuff, like people, like we're being affected by very strong environmental changes. But it only indicates that you have a resolve, you have the ability to survive, and that there is some sort of divine intervention because you're able to adapt peak by peak. So that's why, that's why it's okay that Donald Trump is president, because his shit will end at some point. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel, and that's how we're built. We're built to go from paycheck to paycheck, from peak to peak. And that kind of structure of our reality is very interesting. Civilizations in the future, you know, as we move forward, even right now, I'm witnessing groups of people starting to become, even my friends are like, would you ever live on a farm? And I'm like, hell yeah, I'd live on a farm. If I could work and do all my shit myself, I totally would do that. And that's kind of where civilization is kind of moving, because we're seeing that cities are not the most sustainable and they're not the safest option. And civilizations will become more socially distant because it's just more sustainable. It's like practice right now with the coronavirus. We're just getting practice to stop talking to each other so much and kind of stop trying to be so concentrated and more village-like, you know, tribal or whatever. But anyway, people's thoughts and feelings, they'll become centered around villages and towns. And this is just kind of what people think the world is going to be in the future. Because of global warming and all these shifts in environment, cities are basically a representation of how we, you know, our ability or whatever I'm trying to say. Cities are a representation of our ability to destruct Earth for our own pleasure. So we're moving. That's what we're moving towards. This is why that wave of creation is ending. That's why on Twitter I was like, can we just end this wave of creation? Like, can we just get to unity? Because consciousness is shifting. And we're moving to energy that can unite that can unite all people. Domination, in a sense, will be traded for balance in the future. So man versus nature, cities versus the natural resources. There are many divisions that we have to deal with in our society, and we should be more focused on balance and wholeness. You know, where do you get your food? Is your food balanced? Is your diet balanced? Do you meditate? How can you clean up your act? How can you clean up the earth? Huh? Oh my God, So speaking of cleaning up the earth, there are some new technologies that have been invented around the same time of the Mayan, whatever, shift. The Mayan shift. There is a doctor, another man, another scientist. He kind of sounds like Albert Einstein. His name is Ruggiero Santilli. And he invented the intermediate controlled nuclear fusion reactor. And, you know, he was able to tweak a bunch of math. And basically he can control a nuclear reaction by controlling pressure and power and temperature and flow and all of these factors. And he's able to create an environmentally acceptable form of energy. So, excuse me, right now, coal and gasoline and, you know, natural resources, like all the things that we use, create unacceptable pollution for our environment. And all of these technologies were developed in the light of quantum mechanics, quantum chemistry, and all of these sciences that we just have grown to cling to. But if you listen to last week's episode, pardon me, we've been calling into question all of these theories because they've been disproven in scientific labs. Like since 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, we've been shifting. Even our science has shifted. Like the ideas of old are gone. The Big Bang, you know, stuff like that we've just assumed were right are now being shifted into something, into just a higher realm of consciousness, not anything, because we're just building upon it. It's not wrong. We're just building upon it and creating a new way of thinking, a new framework. And quantum mechanics and quantum chemistry, they can only explain events that can be reversed. So like you can like give somebody something and take it back. Like quantum mechanics and quantum chemistry only can explain those events. But what if you burn up a piece of paper? You can't unburn a piece of paper. You can't like create, you can't unburn gasoline. So of course there's pollution because it doesn't take into account the byproducts of all of these actions that we're taking, specifically with our energetic, you know, energy releases in various forms, gas, natural, you know, all these things that create pollution. And they violate their own rules. They violate the very rules of the mathematics, which is why we get nuclear radiation and stuff, because it violates the rules of nature. It violates the rules of math and creates these exotic, weird things that kill us. So naturally, we have to look in another direction so we don't die. So mathematics was broadened by Ruggiero Santilli to encompass events that had a clear cause and an ending. And that's why gas pollutes the earth and nuclear reactions pollute the earth, because they do not take into account all of the rules that you have to satisfy in order to create an acceptable form of energy. So he created a form of mathematics called hadronic mathematics and hadronic mechanics. And he says it's, quote, a non-unitary, irreversible generalization of quantum mechanics. So you know that like two particles come together and like create a planet, and the gravity of the particles and the waves and the science, the space-time, da da da. So that's your quantum mechanics. But like, before we get to like space-time and like all the other stuff that you create, why the fuck does it come together in the first place? How? Like, we can explain the interactions between these particles, but we don't understand why the particles are formed in the way that they're formed in the first place. Why is a carbon atom the way that it is? Why is it constructed in that way and only that way? Well, Rogero Santilli he's just like, yeah, of course it's magnetism. But unfortunately, we haven't really been told that. Magnetism holds the universe together. There's something magnetic about our reality. And that's how we can get electricity off of it, because it's just there. But he's able to create a nuclear reactor based on the fundamentals of why the shit is stuck together in the first place. So, let me see. Independently verified. So he's independently verified. He's patented by the United States Department of Defense and all that kind of shit. He's just like unknown because he's not polluting the world. He's like going around trying to sell this reactor because it is absent of nuclear radiation and nuclear waste. It doesn't take extreme cold or extreme heat to operate. And he does all of this by breaking the magnetic bonds of whatever substance is being held together. So whatever gas, whatever it is, he can create synthesis, like he can create steam from something else by breaking the magnetic bonds of carbon and something else. I don't know. Or whatever the hell he does. And I can't really explain it because I'm not a physicist or anything, but he can create steam, and that steam can turn a generator, and there is no nuclear waste, and there is no coal, and there is nothing. You got to have a little lab, and you can do it at a gas station. You can do it at home. And that's because the input is a light and stable element. When you do that, the output is a light and stable element. When you burn coal, you're burning a very dirty and very heavy compressed substance that's been compressed by the earth for millions of years. So when you burn it, of course you're going to get all of the shit that's inside of it released to the air that's not being used by the engine. So there's no harmful radiation. You only get synthesis because there's not enough energy to like create the byproducts that you get from nuclear radiation. And you don't create exotic particles because you're not smashing anything together. You're just breaking the magnetic bond of the gas or whatever substance you're reacting with. So I don't know. I'm trying to explain it. I'm confusing my damn self now, but I'm going to put this on my blog, devaughn.org, devaughn.org. And if you want to learn more information, if you want to talk about this, because I'm a verbal processor. That's why the show exists, because I don't know how to talk about anything without talking about it first out loud. I can't think about any. I can't really like form an idea without talking about it out loud at first. So you can email me host@centersun21.com. And I just want to thank you for listening, and have a great day, and have a great coronavirus quarantine or not.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you make the brave decision to venture within, you will unlock your true potential so you can push forward with confidence, conviction, and a purpose. For only $1, you can become a Center of the Sun Plus Gold member and get closer to that purpose. No matter how difficult the process may be, remember it's your resilience and commitment that will ultimately lead you to where you want to go.